And Galatians 6, we started last, nope, we didn't last week, no, didn't we? The week before, when I was here, we looked at, what are you sowing? What are you sowing? And as we look at that, looking at our responsibility to sow and our responsibility really to reap. And God will give the increase. We looked at several things. What are you sowing? Our partnership with the Lord in sowing is so important and so vital. And we saw that. Now, Galatians chapter 6, if you will, we see here Paul is wrapping up his letter to a group of several churches there in the region of Galatia. And he talks about this and he closes out. Let's pick up in verse 7, if you will, if you're there, verse 7. And he says here, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Now, we'll look at this tonight in continuation of what are we sowing. Paul clarifies to this church that we need to be very cautious and careful about our responsibility of sowing. He starts out and he says, you need to understand, number one thing, that God is not mocked. Don't be deceived to think that God is not watching, that God is not going to provide, and that God is not going to require of you and of me something. So we must be careful. He says, whatsoever a man soweth, he shall also reap. We shall reap. There's two areas that we'll look at this evening, that of the flesh and that of the spirit. Wonderful, wonderful thing we see here. Now, Paul just concluded, if you will, in chapter number 5, that which is the fruit of the spirit and that which is the fruit of the flesh. Now, you that folks know your Bibles, I know all of you do here tonight, you understand and you've studied that before. But there are these distinguishing marks or fruits of both the flesh and the spirit. There's a lengthy list of the flesh. There's primarily 9 fruits of the Spirit. Again, 9 is really that wonderful picture we've already looked at. And seeing that, now, as he gives all of that to us, he tells us truly that we walk after the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. Chapter 5, verse 17. And he says, you understand that. There is that battle. There is that thing there. Now, again, the choice and responsibility comes back to you and to me. Are we cultivating and feeding the flesh, or are we cultivating and feeding the spirit? It doesn't take brain science here to figure out that when we feed that old rotten flesh, that thing gets bigger and it's stronger, and we can sometimes lose control. And we don't know how to control it. We feed that spirit, if you will. We're looking forward to the spirit. We're involved with the things of the spirit, capital S spirit, the Holy Spirit. We obviously see we will produce the fruit we need. Now, Jesus makes it clear, out of the heart, what? Proceedeth certain things. Remember, he told the disciples and people following him, out of the heart. He said, a lot of people talk a big game and they like to talk about how spiritual they are. And they talk about, don't follow the Pharisees because this is what they do. They walk through the marketplace and go, oh, Lord God, let us pray now. And they pray this long, eloquent prayer. He says, but when you pray, pray in the closet. When you fast, don't let anybody know you're fasting. It's a private thing. It's not something you boast about. But he's talking about what? Those things of the heart. The heart comes back to the heart of the matter. And the problem with the heart of the problem is the problem with heart. We've heard that before. And today we see that. Now, in our world today, obviously, we look around and see people sowing things that they really don't have a plan or even a real view of or even reality of the reaping part of it, do they? They're sowing all of these things, and then they're praying for a crop failure. We heard, I think, in our Bible Institute, he mentioned something like that. And so they're sowing things. They're throwing seed everywhere out. They're not cautious and careful where they walk and what they do and what they watch and where they go. And I'm amazed. I talked to somebody recently asking some spiritual advice about something. And it wasn't very complicated. Why do you think we're having problems? And I, kindly, are you doing this and that? Well, no. Are you spending any time with the Lord? No. Are you, I mean, it's not brain science, right? It's not rocket science. It's pretty simple. And you don't do anything to cultivate the Spirit. You don't do anything by way of sowing, if you will, in the spiritual matters and things. Listen, understand that. There is a guarantee you will reap. You will reap. Now, let's continue here. So he makes it clear that we are to not be deceived. We are to understand and know who God is and what God is and what God does. See, a lot of people were deceiving these churches at Galatia, primarily telling them, as you recall back in chapter 1, he says, I marvel you're so soon removed. Well, what had happened? They'd come into the church and said what? Oh, you don't need to follow what Paul is saying. You can just follow this, this, and that. There's a lot of Christians and churches today. You don't need all the doctrine and all those things. Let's just worship the Lord. I'm all for worshiping the Lord, but we need doctrine. We need to know what the Bible says, right? Amen. And thank you for being here. Thank you for your involvement. I know you're here because you identify with us. But you think about here. And they came in and tried to divide the church and tried to get the church off of this, what you call this thing that Paul had got him onto, of the truth and of the doctrine. And he says, I marvel you're so soon removed. Who hath, later he says, bewitched you? Who hath deceived you? Who hath corrupted your minds and hearts to believe something else? Now he says what? Be not deceived. Understand who God is. Know that God is going to require of you your life. He's going to require of you an account of your life. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now he makes a little bit of reference to this again in Hebrews 13. He talks about that. The bed is undefiled, right? Marriage is honorable. You're not going to mock God in that. Meaning you're not going to play God. You don't mess around with God. Well, I have favor with God. I have an edge on. Well, God's a little more gracious with me than. No, he's not. The ground is level at the cross. He does not play favorites. We know that. And the Bible repeatedly makes this statement. He's no respecter of persons. It means he's fair with everybody. We see that throughout Scripture. But we understand something here. Do you know who he is and what he's requiring of us? Verse 8, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap what? Corruption. I wish more people would understand that in our world today. We're so full of nicotine and tobacco and alcohol and pornography and everything else, and we wonder why we're so, pardon my French, screwed up, you know, in every way, six ways from Sunday. I mean, I wonder why everything's falling apart. Wonder why I can't figure out what to do. Wonder why I wake up Monday morning, my head's pounding and everything else. You think about this, and we understand he says very clearly, and again, I love the Bible because it's so simple. Oh, I'm glad it's simple that I can understand it. He says, he that soweth. You're planting the seeds of the flesh. And isn't the flesh so strong? You know, I don't want to sow the seeds of the Spirit. I don't want to reap the fruit of the Spirit, not naturally. I don't want to do those things. Long-suffering? Ugh. Peace? I could care less. Right? Joy, love, gentleness? Gentleness? We're not raised gentleness in this world, right? Gentle? What? It's every man for himself. It's dog eat dog. It's your workplace, probably. Gentle? People that have broken marriages, gentle? I don't know what that is. Goodness and faith, meekness and temperance? Oh, you think about it. It's easy to sow to the flesh, isn't it? Man, it's easy. Those seeds, man, they just fall. Ooh, natural. It's like weeds. I hate weeds. But these weeds, man, they grow. They reproduce. I mean, they're phenomenal. And you try and grow, I think I was talking with you the other day, you try and grow some carrots or tomatoes. I mean, you got to be out there just babying those. Are you okay? Do you need anything? Oochie poopy? Do you need it? I just want to make sure everything's okay. And what do? They just die. I mean, you can't keep those stinking things alive. By the way, I need some help. Did you see our little trees out there? They look really dry and dying. Somebody help me, please. You know what to do. Okay. It's so easy to sow to the flesh, man, isn't it? Oh, but think about that. Notice, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He shall reap life everlasting. very clear throughout Scripture. I won't quote all the verses, but very clear. Jesus makes reference of this many times. And he says to Nicodemus in particular, you must be born again. How do I do that? Do I enter a second time into my mother's womb? No. He's rather sarcastic with that. What's he saying? Jesus says you must be born again. So a concept that had never been presented to a human being before. And Jesus comes up and he quotes this, born again. Now we use it all the time. Are you born again, brother? Born again? Jesus introduces this. And you think about it, it's new life. Notice, spirit, reap life everlasting. Now, I mentioned this morning, but the disciples came and said, what's in it for us? He says, not only the blessings of this life now, but life everlasting to come. And we forget about that. If you're like me, I forget about that so often. There's life everlasting to come. My goal is not here. My eyes are somewhere beyond the blue, we often say, right? We need to keep our eyes and focus on eternal life that's coming. Jesus said they have their reward already. They have all that they have right now. Why do good people experience bad things, and why do bad people get good stuff? You ever wonder that? The rotten people, I mean, they just continue to get blessed. They continue to make money. The rich get richer, the poor stay poor. I mean, they just keep, and you wonder why. Why? Jesus said they have their reward. Here it is on earth. That's your reward. Our reward is not here. We're looking forward to that. And he says, you make sure and sow to the Spirit. You sow to the spiritual things that point to and work towards the life everlasting. Again, I need not remind you, but I will anyways. We are looking forward to rewards in heaven. We're not just going to screech into heaven, barely there, and barely saved, right at the last minute. There's a lot of people that do that. On their deathbed, they accept Christ as their Savior, and praise God for that. But they get to heaven, and I believe personally, they are utterly embarrassed and ashamed. Can you imagine standing before Christ, living an ungodly life, your entire life, doing nothing for Him, and on your deathbed, you ask Him to save you? Praise God they're in heaven, but that would be rough. But think about you, dear saints, that have lived a life for the Lord. You get to stand before Christ one day, and He's going to hand you rewards. Oh, and we know it'll be tried by fire. And He's going to give us those rewards. Wood, hay, and stubble? Oh, is it gold, silver, precious stones? Are you reaping? Are you looking forward to? Why are you sowing today spiritual things? Oh, because I have a date in heaven I have to keep. Why are you sowing to the Spirit when you can enjoy all the fleshly things here? Oh, because I have an account to give here real soon. I have an appointment, as we read last week. I have an appointment to keep. I'm one day standing before Christ. That's the appointment that I have to keep. Why are you taking time? Why do the farmers and ranchers and other people go out and take so much time and invest so much money in that harvesting time? Right? We know. Now notice he says, they're reaping to life everlasting. Okay? Now verse 9, let's continue. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season, there again that word due, D-U-E, means God's timing, we shall reap if we faint not. Now there's the prerequisite. We shall reap. There's the guarantee. Yes, I get to reap. Well, what's the prerequisite to that? If we faint not. A lot of people want to reap, but they've already fainted. And they want to walk in late. Oh, can I have some of that fruit as well? Can I get a little bit of that harvest? Where were you? Oh, it was too tough for me. I had to bow out. No. Listen, we will. The guarantee comes when we make it a point and we settle in our hearts, I will not faint. Faint means to give up. It means to give up. When somebody faints, they give up all of what they control, right? Everything. Their control center goes out. It goes dark and they fall over and faint. Faint means to give out, give up. Now notice what he says. Let us not be weary in well-doing. So evidently clear, and you know this already, but sowing is very difficult. Sowing brings a weariness to us. It doesn't say depressed and frustrated and vengeful and resentful and angry. It just says weary. That, by the way, there's nothing wrong with being weary in God's work. Every one of us get weary. Living in this wicked world is tiresome. Trying to be faithful to your wife in this wicked is tiresome. Trying to be faithful to your kids is tiresome, isn't it? I mean, you understand, it is, you get weary at the end of the day. You get weary from serving Christ and for living for Him. Boy, it's easy to not live. Any old dead fish can just float down the river. But those trout that swim up the river, have you seen that? Now, not a good analogy. Salmon, thank you. The bad analogy, because they get up to the top and there's the bear that catches them. They jump out. They swim all the way up and they jump up and there he is to meet him. Okay, the big bad bear. Don't write that part down. Okay, and but we ought to keep going. Notice that it's wearisome. Let us, the camaraderie. Do you understand tonight that we need each other? Don't we? Talked about in 1 John, he speaks of the fellowship. We have fellowship, number one, with Him. And because we have fellowship with Him, then we have fellowship with each other. And Spirit identifies with Spirit. When you come and speak to somebody who has the Holy Spirit within them, there's a magnet, identification. You don't have the same personality. You may not get along in it, but you have a connection. And that's a precious thing. No, he says, let us. We understand and see that. A camaraderie, a companionship, not be weary. When you get weary, you call one of us. When you get tired, you call one of us. You seek the Lord, but there's times when you say, well, I'm going to call my brothers at church. I'm going to call one of my sisters at church. They'll understand what to do. They'll understand what I'm going through. Try and talk to an ungodly person about your trials. I've just been trying to serve the Lord, and it's been so hard. They're going to say, well, we'll just buck up. You know, get tougher. You talk to a brethren or a sister in Christ or a brother in Christ, they know exactly what you're going through. Notice, not be weary in well-doing. Well-doing is wearisome. Well-doing can be very tiresome. But I want to encourage you with this, and here it is, for in due season. The problem that I have often is that, yes, I get weary, but God's timing, I want to do it my way. God's timing, I don't want to wait. And God says if you'll just wait in due season. In due season. It's mentioned this again. And he says, in due time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, in due time. God's timing. I said Wednesday night, I wish God would have put in the Bible the exact moment that he's going to return or he's going to call us home. Don't you? But I said this as well as I was reading. He didn't do that. Why? Because we would have, if you're like me, I would have waited all the way up till about 10 minutes before and gotten right with God. Now, everyone, God's going to be here in about 6 minutes. Everyone get ready. Okay, kids, change your clothes. Get ready. Turn that TV off and get rid of the cell phones and get everything ready to go. We think about this. Now, understanding the due timing, the due season is God's timing. But we will reap the guarantee if we faint not. Can I encourage you tonight to keep going? Don't faint. Are you sowing where you should be sowing? It won't be easy. But listen, it will be greatly rewarding. One of the guarantees in the Word of God is that we will reap. We will reap. Verse 10, and as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So not only is he saying you're going to be weary, tiresome in well-doing, but then he adds this onto your backpack as well. Oh, and by the way, let's go ahead and do good to other people too. Let's go ahead and get away from self-centeredness and thinking only of self and do good unto all men. Especially, underline that, unto them who are of the household of faith. We often will be so much more giving or helpful or kind to people outside of the church than those of the household of faith. And I know Christians and I know us pastors and others, we can be a burden and a problem. We're always asking for money or something. But you think about it, he says, now especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now why? Because we're all in this together. We're all sowing together. We're all weary together. And sometimes, praise God, you may not be weary, but I may be weary, and you can encourage me. And there'll be other times when I may be feeling pretty good, and you may be a little bit weary in well-doing, and you're facing a battle that I'm not facing, and we help each other. And he says, be good and do good as we have opportunity. And do you know the more you pray for opportunity, the more God gives opportunity? So don't pray for opportunity. No, I'm just kidding. You ever pray for patience? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. No, I know. I prayed it the other day just accidentally. You know, I was praying and oh, God, give me patience, Lord. Wait, Lord, I didn't mean, hang on a second. Because you know what he's going to do. Okay, Tim, here we go. Oh, Lord, I didn't mean that. What do you think about here? Opportunity. Do we have opportunities? Opportunities around us. Let's do good. We're coming back to this. He mentions other things. I won't read the rest of this here, but he says, verse 14, just for sake of closing, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." You think about that. He says, listen, I will glory only in the cross. We sing a song like that. I'll glory only in the cross. And he says, I want you to know that the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The world sees me, Paul says, as one being crucified. You identify with Christ, you're going to go through crucifixion. We think about that. He says, the world's crucified to me. It's done. I'm no longer any part of that. I have put the world on that altar and given it to God. How are we going to sow where we should sow? How are we going to remain faithful in times of adversity and weariness and pain? And you folks, most of you have been through horrible situations, difficult seasons of life that I could never imagine. And I am encouraged by your faithfulness and your testimony. And I thank you for that. But how are we going to get through that? How are we going to endure? How are we going to get to that point when we lay it all down at the end of life and stand before Christ? And he hands us our reward. How do we get to that point? How do we keep going? Notice what he says. I want you to know this, that I don't glory. I don't find enjoyment. I don't find any kind of praise and glory in anything else except for the cross of Christ, in him alone. And I want you to know as well that I am doing this and able to do this because the world's crucified to me and I am to the world. Crucified. I have no more enjoyment. I have no more fulfillment. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We sang another song. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. What's that higher ground? We're trying to get home. We're trying to get home. And I love that. And the only way that you can sow where you should sow and keep your focus on that eternal heaven, glory, home, is if you are crucified to this world and the world unto you. You know what gets people from keep putting that hand in their pocket, that seed in their pocket, and sowing where they should sow? They get weary. I don't see any fruit from that. Nothing's happening. I mean, I've been sowing for years. Nothing's coming. What's happening? We're not waiting on God's due time. Due time. And you know what gets people to stop sowing? We get distracted with the world, don't we? Oh, here's the world. That looks good. Man, look at all those weeds over there, man. They're doing great. Wonder what they're doing. We get distracted. Look at that over there. And Paul says, listen, friends of the church, be aware of this, that I am crucified to this world. And when you're crucified to the world is crucified to you. You understand that they will not befriend you. They'll mock your sowing. They'll make fun of the location that you start to sow in. They'll make fun of where you sow and put your seed. Why? It's not their sowing. It's not their field. Their field is what? Go ahead and sow in pleasure. Sow in entertainment. Sow in these things over here. Sow in what you want, right? Make sure that you're number one. Make sure that you're making money. Make sure that you're doing what? All those things we think about. Oh, are we sowing where we should sow? We'll have the adversity with us. It'll be against us constantly as we think about, okay? Lastly, let me just say this in closing. We should understand that God has a responsibility, given us a responsibility, to sow. And we have a guarantee that we'll reap. Isn't that wonderful? If every farmer in America had the guarantee at the beginning of the season, you will reap. Okay, how much am I going to reap? You'll reap this much. Well, praise God. And then they'll get another report. You're not going to reap very much this year. Oh, okay, great. Okay. They don't have that, do they? They go out by faith. And they sow in the field, and they're expecting a harvest. You and I have a guarantee that we will reap. Well, if we faint not. We must trust God's timing, His due season, and we must faint not. There's our responsibilities, to faint not, to keep going. If we have opportunity, let's do good unto all men. Let's do good unto the household of faith. As we sow, we're doing good unto others. And you think about tonight, what are you sowing? What am I sowing? Are you investing in the right areas? Are you investing in the right things? Are we doing that? We're taking the Word of God and we're using that as our platform. We're using that as our instruction manual on what to sow, how to sow, when to sow, where to sow, etc., right? All of that comes from the Word. If we're not careful, we'll sow in the wrong areas because we've closed the book. We've not followed the Word. We've not spent time with the husbandman, our Lord Jesus Christ. Get to know Him. Lord, what do you want me to do? The old parable that went, Jesus said, there was a husbandman, and he let out his to what? Men. And he built the wine press and the area for the wine fat, and he let it out to some people to manage it, and he sent a servant to say, how's it going? Give us a report. Let me see your QuickBooks. You know. And he said, I'm not going to show you nothing. They beat the guy and sent him away. He said, he sent another guy. They beat him even more, didn't they? He said, finally, last of all, he said, I'll send my son. They'll reverence him because they know I mean business. And they took him and did what? They beat him and killed him. And Jesus turned to those men, those Pharisees and scribes, and says, what do you think he would do to those men, ungodly men? They said, oh, he should destroy them. He'll go there and just let them have it. He'll destroy all of them. And he said, is this not the saying? The stone has been rejected, right? He's the head of the corner, but he's been rejected. You think about today, that's exactly what Jesus is saying. We understand Jesus sent forth his son for our salvation, for our justification, and for everything else. He did all of that. And we think about today, he's entrusted us today to manage or to what? Sow. We have a responsibility to manage while we're here. God's given all of us something to manage, given all of us something to steward, if you will, is a Bible term, to steward on this earth. Are we stewarding it properly? Are we sowing where we should sow? Why? Because one day we'll have an appointment with our Maker and we'll meet our Maker and we'll have the great rewards, Lord willing, that we have earned. Are you reaping? Are you reaping? Are you fainting not? Stay focused, my friends, and understand this, that Paul says, listen, I am not glorying in anything but the cross of Christ. And the reason I can say these things, he says, is because I'm truly crucified unto the world and the world unto me. What a wonderful thing. Amen. I'll stop there for tonight. We'll continue a little bit, Lord willing, next week with a continuation of this, is looking at, again, more of the areas of our responsibility in sowing. But I hope that's an encouragement to you to think about, friends, we're in this together. Let us, notice, let us, we're in this together. We're weary sometimes, we're discouraged sometimes, and you know that we're here for you. You need anything, you let us know, you call us, any kind of issue that you would say, I need some spiritual help or just some encouragement. You know that. That's why we're here as a family. We're not here just to hear preaching and sing some songs and fellowship. We're here together, aren't we? And one day we get to heaven and we're going to be a little group over here in the corner and the Lord's going to turn to us and say, Faithway in Edgewood? We'll say, oh yeah, we're right here, Lord. That's us over here. You're next. Come on up. Oh, okay. I'm excited for that. We'll be together. Amen? Even if you don't like us, you have to be with us, okay? You're stuck with us. All right. I'll stop there. Okay. Lord, thank you for this evening and blessing us to gather around the Word of God. I know, as I say often on Sunday nights, that I'm preaching to folks that they're super Christians, Lord. They love you. They serve you so faithfully. And Lord, I thank you for that. I pray you'd help us, Lord, though, collectively, as a group, as a church, to stay together. We're going to be weary through this world as we work, as we toil. Lord, as we seek to sow, but Lord, you'd strengthen us, give us your wisdom, help us through this week ahead, and Lord, help us to keep you as a priority in our lives and everything we say and do. And Lord, guide us now. We love and thank you. Please protect us now in Jesus' precious name, and amen.